some thoughts from the Word of God concerning living purposefully and fulfilling our destiny. We covered quite a bit, but we were just in the introductory aspect of the subject. Every one of us are called to live a purposeful life. That is, a life that has meaning, that has reason. You and I may think sometimes that our purpose is so little, but that's not the truth. You and I are called to fulfill a particular mandate that benefits others, directly or indirectly. And for you and I to recognize our purpose, sometimes we need to recognize those areas in our lives that keep on coming up. Something that is driving you, you're passionate about. Sometimes that's the key factor to reveal to you what your true calling or purpose is. Sometimes it can come from a negative setting based on what issues you keep on dealing with, what kind of problems come your way constantly. Because ultimately, living a purposeful life, living a life of destiny, is embedded in answering this question. It's a simple question, but a very important question. What problem am I here to solve? What problem am I here to solve? Because everyone here has been raised up by God to deal with a particular issue. There's nothing that God has created that doesn't have a reason. Now, you may say, well, there's the appendix. Nobody knows why. Well, you don't know why the appendix now, but at least it does something. It collects crazy stuff that may be floating in your blood and stuff like that. Well, I don't know the reason for this, and I don't know the reason for that. Things become dormant when we don't use them. Gifts and abilities go dormant when we don't use them. And because you're not using it, does not mean it's not part of God's will for your life. It just simply means that it's dormant. And my prayer is that during this time, that God will get rid of every level and every area where our lives have gone into a dormant state. That there be a reawakening in us of those things that are important, those things that are relevant, those things that God has ordained. Nothing that you have been assigned to do is too small. Just imagine for a moment that even as we gathered here, that somebody did not clean this place. We'll be walking around with all kinds of stuff, messy, smelly. Somebody did that. Somebody cleaned up to make it possible for us to be here. It may look menial and little or small, but that small thing is affecting everything. The washrooms are not clean. That affects everything. You don't recognize how important something is in your life until something goes wrong with it. I have a pinky here, and you do too. I don't know that it's there as long as it's not hurting. But if something happens to it, can you imagine what happens to the rest of my body? It's just a little pinky here, but all of a sudden, pain affects every aspect. So it is also when we as individuals do not take on our responsibility, the responsibility and the calling that God has bestowed upon our lives, the body begins to hurt. A hurting church is a hurting church because of people that are not fulfilling their mandate. A hurting country is a hurting country because of people not fulfilling their mandate, doing what they're called to do. A community hurts because of people that are not doing what they're called to do. It's not that hurting is natural to them, it's that something is wrong. Something is wrong. When something is where it does not belong, it creates an irritation. But everything belongs somewhere. Everything belongs somewhere. But if it's in the wrong place, discomfort. When I am feeling discomfort, it is because something is out of place. Something is out of place. Something is not right. That's why pain is a blessing. Pain is not always a curse. Pain is just letting you know that something is wrong. Will you do something to correct it? The people that are in your life are there for a reason. Did you know that? You can gripe and complain about that person or that person. They are in your life for a reason. The wife that you have that you think is a headache is there for a reason. The husband that you have that you say is a jerk is there for a reason. So not everything is necessarily bad, because maybe, I'm not saying that this is true all the time, because I don't want people going around trying to fix each other. Just maybe, the reason that man or that woman is in your life is so that you can help them fulfill their destiny, their calling, their assignment, and they are there for a reason. Amen? You are born where you were born for a reason. There's a purpose. There's a reason for you. There's a reason you're attending that school that you attended. Everywhere you find yourself, you must ask yourself this question: why am I here? What is my assignment? Is there something I'm supposed to collect from this place? And what is it that I'm supposed to collect? And where am I supposed to take it to? Whose life am I supposed to impact by what I am learning right now? To fail to accomplish that is to position yourself negatively and become an obstacle and not a blessing. Many years ago, I was doing a hospital visit, and I saw this young lady. She couldn't have been more than 23, 25 tops, and she was doing a good job. And as I walked by her, I said, "Thank you for studying. Thank you for going to school. Thank you for learning what you've learned." Why? She was using what she learned to help somebody that very moment. Can you imagine that that person did not learn it? I was in Nigeria recently, and I've gone many times into Africa, and to my amazement, I see something that I don't understand. Many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, we had all these older vehicles with carburetors and stuff like that. Old engine. And now everything is computerized. And these guys that didn't go to university, didn't learn, you know, didn't go to some trade school, they are busy fixing cars like they used to fix them years ago. I'm thinking, how? How on earth are you able to fix these new vehicles when I know you've not left this country? Because somebody decided, you know what? Cars are going to still break down. Let me figure out how these new cars work. That means to fulfill their purpose and destiny, they understood work. Work. We live in a time where people just don't want to work. Can you imagine that the reason they are there is just to make some money and they didn't learn? And you bring their car and they put all kinds of crazy stuff inside it, mess it up and say, well, we couldn't fix your car, it's broken, but your bill, because we charge $50 an hour, pay up. We had your car here for 6 hours. How long will they stay in business? You might just fool people now and then, but the chances are your yard is going to be full of vehicles, and people will know, don't go there. Don't go there. Is it possible that life is saying to us, don't go there because they've not spent time to learn, they've not spent time to work, they've not spent time to understand how things operate so that they can be a blessing? Purpose, destiny. It doesn't just happen. It happens because of what God is saying about you, but it also happens because of how I'm responding to the will of God. So God says to Jeremiah, don't say you're a child. Don't count yourself out. I have done certain things for you, and I've made provision for you. I'm your helper. I'm your source. I'm your strength. I'm the ability that you need to make it in life to be a blessing. I've called you to have authority to impact nations. I've graced you. Now, go to everyone that I send you to. But can you imagine? He's been given a word, and he does not go. Say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that part of living a life of destiny, a life of purpose, is linked to obedience. Someone say obedience. Obedience. If you are not obedient, you cannot fulfill your mandate. And ultimately, God is going to ask us about our obedience. Our obedience is linked to doing what God called us to do. Being in the place where we are called to be. Serving where God has called us to serve. Helping where God has called us to help. That, my brother, my sister, is what gives our lives meaning. Nobody needs to walk around as if they have no purpose, no meaning, no reason. No, you have a reason. There's a reason for you. And the challenge is you asking yourself this primary question: what problem has God called me to solve? If you're a mechanic, you're solving a problem. If you're a plumber, you're solving a problem. If you're a doctor, you're solving a problem. If you're a politician, you're solving a problem. And God help you when God has called you to solve the problem and you become the problem in the place where God called you to be a solver of problems. A politician that's supposed to help govern, help give direction, operating in corruption, there's a problem there. You're going to answer to God for that. You're a preacher. You're called to preach the gospel, to minister to people, encourage them and help them break forth into their destiny. And there you are, and you're doing something else just for yourself. What am I going to collect? What am I going to get? Because problem solvers are not about it because of what they are going to get. The satisfaction is not in the money. The satisfaction is seeing people rejoicing and experiencing joy and victory because their problem is solved. That is, ultimately, what it's all about. Satisfaction of the customer. Satisfaction of the person whose problem just got solved. Do people walk away from me rejoicing, not because I was bad, but because I helped solve a problem? That is ultimately my purpose, to solve a problem. To solve a problem. Not everybody's problem, but a particular problem. I'm not here to solve everybody's problem. I'm here to solve the problem that God has placed before me. And He imparts me and grants me wisdom, insight, discernment, understanding to see solutions when other people don't see. I'm a problem solver. Jesus came to solve a problem. Did He not? For this purpose, was Jesus made manifest, 1 John 3 and verse 8. It was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. Sometimes you don't know what problem you're called to solve, or when you're called to solve it. Sometimes you don't know. The Lord asked me a question many years ago. And He said to me, He said, what was my first miracle? What was my first miracle in the New Testament? I said, Lord, You turned water into wine. And He said, wrong. I said, what do you mean wrong? That's the first miracle. Wrong. What do you mean wrong? And I brought my Bible. I opened to the scripture. And I read to the Lord John 2:11. I said, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. I said, see, I'm right. And the Lord said, wrong. I said, how can you say wrong? I just read it to you. Your own Bible. This is your Bible, isn't it? I read it to you. This beginning of miracles. He said, you're wrong. I said, okay. If I'm wrong, what is it then? And just as quickly I said that, he says to me, it doesn't matter what it is that they were lacking. I hate lack. And they lacked wine, so I turned water into wine. If it was bread that they lacked, I would have turned water into bread. I hate lack. Oh. Any wonder that the word of God says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not lack. Primary thing, I hate lack. What did Jesus come to do? He came to destroy the works of the devil. What was part of that destruction of the works of the devil? The devil is the generator of lack. It was the cause of the presence of the devil that lack came into the world. We lack health, we lack peace, we lack joy, we lack victory. We lack because of the devil. And Jesus came and said, hey, I'm putting a stop to this so that you don't lack anything. And if I be a son of God, and if you be a son of God, a daughter of God, and we've been created in the image and the likeness of God, then that must be one of the key things that we focus our attention on. My reason and purpose in this world is to shatter the stronghold of lack. If they need help, I am going to be the answer to the help that they need. Guess what God did? When Jesus left, he left us a comforter, and he called that comforter a helper. Is that not true? So part of my destiny is about helping. Helping. I'm called to help. I'm called to assist. Whichever way God has anointed me, that's what I'm called to do, to help people fulfill their destiny. You're there to help people have their eyes open. And whatever my assignment is today, it is to help somebody. If I help nobody, then I did not do my job. Anybody that doesn't truly help you as you should be helped has become a practitioner of misinformation, a practitioner of evil in your life. When you wake up every morning, you ask yourself, who am I supposed to help today? What am I supposed to do today? Nobody sits down without a sense of grace upon their lives to impact somebody else's life and then think they are going to live a meaningful life. No, no. You are a vegetable. That's what they say. You call to help somebody. You called to assist somebody, to destroy the presence of lack. Whatever it is they lack, God has given me grace to be of help. I've learned something through life, that no information that comes to me is wasted information. You may think you don't need the information, but I assure you, that day, or sooner or later, you're going to find somebody that needs that so-called useless information. So it was the other day, I received something on social media, an email of some sort. And this person just talking about stuff to help save a life. And as I was reading this stuff, I said, this is a bunch of wooey. This is nonsense. This is crazy stuff. I don't think any of this is right. Because this guy is talking about if somebody is this happening, poke them with a needle in their ear and it will solve the problem. I'm saying, God, next time you're going to say, find some white chalk and rub it on the bottom of their foot or something, and the problem. And so it was useless information, and I wanted to send the person back and say, check on your information before you start sending me silly information. But that afternoon, strangely enough, somebody was choking, and the response to the situation was, tell the person to raise both of their hands up. So I said, raise up your hand. And the person is choking. I said, raise up your hand. So the person raised up their hand and they stopped coughing and choking. And then they started coughing again. And I said, but the person just said to me, he said, what makes that work? Why is that? Why did this just work? Then they said, coughing. Then I looked at the information closely. I said, it says raise both hands up, not just one. So the person raised both hands up and they stopped coughing and choking. I said, useless information. Right. This thing worked. Now, I don't know about the needle pad, but this particular one worked. It was useless information, but useless information that worked. Information comes to you for a reason. That's the point I'm trying to make. You think it's useless? No, but it's going to save somebody's life. Nothing, please hear me, child of God, nothing happening around you is a waste. They are all learning experiences. See, Pastor, where are you getting at in all of this about purpose and destiny? I'm dealing with purpose and destiny in a peripheral way. But God help me. This next Sunday, I'm going to go deeper. I'm going to go right so deep to deal with this issue so that no one of us will live another day and think there's no reason for me. No. That's a lie from the devil. That's a big fat lie. You are so important in the equation of things. You are extremely important. Everything about your life has meaning. You have meaning. You have a divine assignment that brings about transformation. I come here to the office, and many a times when I come, I find one of my spiritual daughters in here by herself in a cubicle upstairs. And what's she doing? She's working on videos. Why is she working on videos? She's trying to edit videos or whatever to make sure that those videos get into the hands of broadcasters who will broadcast it. She's not getting paid to do that. But she's doing it. Why is she doing it? Well, to help me, but more than that. I know she did not go to school to learn how to do that. But she learned that because it is a problem that needs to be solved. Now that she's learned it, she gives of her time. And let me say something. She may not be receiving dollars from my pocket or from your pocket, but there's a God who sees and is rewarding every action taken. God pays well. Amen? God pays well. God looks and says, I will reward you. I will do for you extraordinary things, things that you cannot imagine. I'm doing it right now. I'm moving things this way, that way. And lo and behold, when she needs help, help will be there because she sowed help. Hallelujah. So it is for every man and every woman that's serving here. There are some people that will never be seen because they are working behind the scenes. But there is a reason for them. How am I certain, even though I didn't ask my brother and sister this morning or solicited the information firmly, how am I certain that my brother and sister from Nunavut didn't get here because of them watching Call to Victory broadcast? How did you get there? How do they know? You know, there are all kinds of churches all around. Right now, as I'm talking, there are people listening in different parts of the world. And you don't know what impact that one person is going to have. And one day, we're going to stand before God and we thought, oh, we only led 12 people to the Lord. And by the time you know it, you have millions of people say, how? I never saw these people. How did this happen? Oh, because of one thing that she did. One thing that he did. One thing that he did. Taking the video. Somebody's editing. Somebody's sending it out. Everybody playing their role, and there's no break in the connection. That's living intentionally. That's living purposefully. That's living life with a destiny. I have an assignment. I am going to accomplish that assignment. God help me. So that you don't say, well, Pastor, you know, yeah, he quoted some scriptures, but he really didn't do too much with the Bible this morning. So you don't go home thinking that. Let me read you something. First Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 12. 1 Chronicles 11:12. Bible's talking about the mighty men of David. Three key ones. Actually, take me from verse 10. It says, these also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom. Who did what? Strengthened themselves. Why? They want to be helpful to him in his kingdom. So they strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel to make him what? King. To make who king? David. They strengthen themselves to make David king. Who is David? David is the one that God had secretly anointed in the secret place. The one that was not counted, was not addressed as important even by his own father. David, small boy. But these guys strengthened themselves to help him be king. When different people learn things and do things and say, you know, God has anointed this man, Bishop Mike, Apostle, God has anointed him to do something. I am going to learn whatever it is I need to learn to make sure that he gets this job done. You strengthen yourself to accomplish. When I think about how many bills are associated with doing ministry that I don't see, I don't see it. I don't see it because somebody willfully decided we need this to be done, and they go and they buy this stuff and they just do the things. They didn't you need to put this in the budget. Do they have the right to bring the budget and the bill? Absolutely. But many times they strengthen themselves to make sure that it is done. That's why believers must not think about just doing whatever it is they want to do because they think they should do it. I have a spiritual father that's not retired. You know why he's not retired? Because he feels that he needs to continue to do what God has called him to do so that the message continues to go forth powerfully. There are people who are working not because they need the money. They're working so that seed can be in the house, so that the message of the gospel can keep on going forth. That's why they're working, not because of any other reason. They don't need more dollars in their bank account, but the work of the Lord must keep on going, and therefore I'm going to work and make sure that there's money in the house. There must be money in the house of God so that this gospel of the kingdom keeps on going on, and that's all they are doing. It's a reason for them. Everybody. According to the word of the Lord concerning Israel, to make him king. And this is a number of the mighty men whom David had. Jashobeam and Hakomite, Manite, the chief of the captains. He lifted up his spear against 300 slain by him at one time. It's one of them. 300 slain. One time, bow. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ohohite, who was one of the three mighties. He was with David at Pasdamim. Pasdamim means the boundary of blood. It's the same word similar to the word Ephesdamim, boundary of blood. And there the Philistines were gathered together to battle. I'll spend some time on that another time. But look at the next statement. Where was a parcel of ground full of barley? And the people fled from before the Philistines. Fear caused them to flee. But there's this guy, son of Dodo. He stays there. He says, and they set themselves in the midst of that parcel and delivered it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord did what? Save them by great deliverance. The Lord saved them. Oh, I thought these guys did it. No, the Lord did it. So if the Lord did it, he needed somebody that he used to do it. Are you with me? When God wants to, oh God, come and do this. Oh God, we need this. And God is looking at you. What are you talking about? Go do it. Moses, what are you talking to me about? What's that in your hand? A rod. Then use it. We pray so many prayers and we don't find ourselves in the equation. Oh God, we need to build a big church. Hallelujah. We're going to fast for it. And God's looking at you and saying, okay, where's your money? What money? I'm praying. That's what I'm doing. And God's saying, is prayer going to build the church? Or do we need money here? Yeah, we need money. John, where's your money? No, God is looking at you. He said, where's your money? If you're praying the prayer, be part of the answer. That's part of living the life of destiny and purpose. I am part of the solution, not part of the problem. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me wrap this up by reading you another passage close to this. 2 Samuel 23. Let me take it from about verse 10 again. 2 Samuel 23. Let's take it from about verse 7. But a man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of his spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. Let's go on. These be the names of the mighty men. I went one verse too fast. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. 800. Pow. One man takes 800 guys off. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was what? Weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. He fought, and he could not remove his hand from the sword. He became one with the sword. In other words, he became the weapon. And he's tired, and they had to force the sword off of his hand. That takes some doing. 11. Verse 11 says, watch this. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. In verse 12, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. What? The Lord wrought what? A great victory. How? Because there's a man who says, can't touch this. I'm here, you're not touching this. And they took on an entire army. One guy. He didn't say, hey, I'm the only one here. I better take off just like everybody else. He said, no. Come. Want a piece of this? Come. Come. And takes them all out. Stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. Lentils, beans. Why? Is he defending for those losers that took off? They all ran off. Why is he? Who's going to die for these losers? No, he's not thinking that way. He's thinking, nobody's touching this. And they returned and got spoiled. And guess what? God wrought a great victory through him. When you take a stand, no matter how complicated the situation is, God does in you and through you something extraordinary. And you will never experience it. We will never experience it if we don't take a stand and say, you're not touching anything here. You're not messing with my family. They may all be acting crazy, but nobody is coming here and doing anything here. Our finances will be secure. You're not touching any of it. Come on, come on. Come. Who stands and fights for everybody else? even when they don't deserve it. A person who has a sense of purpose and destiny fights that way. May God help us to be that kind of a people. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me just wrap up. Give me the next verse. Actually, take me to verse 20. There's much to be read in there. I encourage you to read Psalm 23. Here it says, this is important, and Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, and watch this, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. What? The lion is inside a pit in the time of snow. I don't think it's coming out. And why am I endangering my life to go inside that slippery place to go fight the lion? Because he's saying, wait a minute. If things thaw out, that lion is going to come out, and I don't know when that's going to happen. So I'm going to get it now that I see it. But why is he thinking that way? Because he's already killed two lion-like men. His past experiences gave him the boldness and the tenacity to say, if I did it before, I'll do it again. The solutions that God has used you to bring about in the past were there just to train you to deal with the future issues and to address them in time, on time, so that the enemy doesn't have a fighting chance. Amen? That's what we do. That's what we do. We take on the enemy. You don't wait, well, it's not disturbing me yet. No, sometimes you need to go where to the enemy's camp and say, somehow you got here. And this is where you're going to stop. But it's in the pit. It's in the pit. It's in the pit, man. Leave it alone. And the man says, no, we're not leaving it alone. We're killing it today. But when you go in there, it's going to be just as slippery for you, actually more slippery for you because you don't have claws. But if God be for me, who can be against me? I'm taking this thing on, and God is there to help him. Amen? See, man of God, what are you saying? I'm saying there's no way we're going to lose when we set our minds to fulfill our call, purpose, and destiny. There's no losing here. It's not part of the equation. God is our helper. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We'll stop there today. I thank God for every one of you who's spent time listening. I don't know what your challenges are. I don't know what may be standing in your way right this very moment. But whatever it is, know this for a fact. You have a God who's well able to help you overcome. Whatever circumstance is challenging you now, it's a circumstance that God wants you to get rid of so that nobody else has to deal with it. Amen? Hallelujah. You may be going through something right now in your health that your father and your father's father and your, you know, your family line has dealt with through the years. And now it has come and it's sitting right in front of you and challenging you. And God is saying to you, I'm anointing you to get rid of this thing once and for all so that it doesn't go to the next generation. Whatever it is that you need this day, God is your present help. And he will use you. And this situation that you are facing today, you're not facing by chance. It is orchestrated for a reason. The enemies that you see today, you shall see no more. That's what God said to Moses. It was God who got Pharaoh's army to come pursuing after Israel so that he could get rid of them. There are things that God is anointing you today to address, and you will address it well because his anointing is available, it is present, and you will make it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are our helper, and we draw on your strength today. We want to live intentional lives, very intentional, very focused lives. We want to be aware of what's happening around us at all times. Even as your son was aware of the lion in the pit, we want to be aware of what's happening around us. Even as your son was aware of the Philistines that were trying to come into the lentil field, was able to take them on, Lord, grant us the awareness to know that sometimes we may have to stand alone for the well-being of the masses. Whatever it takes, whatever needs to be done, that will establish us, O God, in the annals, O God, of men and women of might, men and women of valor, because we are here to serve others. Lord, do it in us, with us, for us, and through us. We give you praise for all things. We honor you. And thank you, Lord, O God, for the ability to serve your people and to see your kingdom come, your will done in the earth as it is in heaven. Whatever the calling and purpose of God that you have for sons and daughters in this house, Father, let it be accomplished expeditiously through them, because grace is granted. Thank you, Father, for this. We look to you, author and finisher of our faith, and we say yes to your will, yes to your word, yes, O God, to your divine purpose and destiny for our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.